Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is the episode for Monday, January 29th. And my God, why are you listening to this podcast? I'm just kidding. This is your host, Matt Shook on Twitter, Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Follow us on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well. We got a Facebook page that you should follow to talk about all things you about your Detroit Pistons at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But as I said, there's actually interesting times ahead as the trade deadline is coming up soon. We're looking at the end of the season, staring at the rest of the year into the abyss a little bit here, but some interesting questions for Tom Gores, Stan Van Gundy, and everyone else involved with the Detroit Pistons and front offices around the NBA as it pertains to this team have going forward. So that's going to be a little bit of what the conversation shifts about here on Locked On Pistons going forward, because as the Pistons sit in there, 8-game losing streak right now, there's not much reason to be optimistic, although we'll keep the tabs on Reggie Jackson, and if he comes back sometime soon, and also talk about the games ahead, because the Pistons will continue to play, albeit not very well at the current state of the team. We'll recap the two losses over the weekend. We won't dwell too much, I promise, but we'll also talk about why you should care about some of those weekend's opponents that the Pistons played, and what was the best play of the weekend for the franchise. And we're also going to take a step back, kind of take a look at the state of where we're at in the season, what's ahead, and what's coming up for the franchise. As like I said, a couple of consequential weeks coming ahead with the February 8th trade deadline staring at us in the face. But we got Draft Wednesday coming up in a couple days. Join us on draft.com. Download the Draft app. Use promo code LOPISTONS. Follow me on the app at handle Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and we will get the Draft Wednesday matchup started with you guys as well. Pistons, as I mentioned, 8-game losing streak are now 3 games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs. However, if you're still optimistic or looking for some reason for hope, the next 6 games are at home at Little Caesars Arena, where the Pistons have had more success than on the road, and 9 of the next 10 games are at home, which is kind of hard to believe, but in an 82-game schedule that you would have 9 of 10 games at home, but that's where we're at right now for the Pistons. 5 games before the trade deadline on February 8th, 22-26, 4 games under 500, still holding on to that 9th spot in the Eastern Conference, somehow a full 3 games behind Philadelphia for the 8th spot. So as bad as things look now, there's still a chance that this team makes the playoffs. A lot of home games coming up soon, and obviously there's no chance that this team under its current play makes the playoffs. They need to turn that around considerably, but if you want to be an optimist and want to think about the Pistons possibly making the playoffs for the second time in 3 seasons, there is some reason for hope. There is some reason for optimism. As like I said, Reggie Jackson, who knows? He could be back in a few weeks as well. The Pistons lost on Sunday to the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Q, the Quicken Loan Center, the house that Dan Gilbert built, 121-104 down in Cleveland to the, 50,000 times defending Eastern Conference champion LeBron James. 20 points for Anthony Tolliver in the loss for the Pistons. He played 40 minutes. That wasn't on the drawing board coming into the season. 5 3-pointers for Tolliver and an impressive performance. Hats off to the Springfield, Missouri native there. 20 points for Tobias Harris. Another underwhelming 20 for him. Seems like a lot of his 20-point performances are pretty underwhelming at the end of the day. 17 points and 11 rebounds for Andre Drummond, although he was pretty invisible for the most part as well. 14 for Stanley Johnson, who had a pretty strong game. He played well off the bench. He's been playing okay lately. In about every other game, he seems to play pretty well. LeBron had 25 points for the Cavs, 14 assists and 8 rebounds, but he felt like he kind of cruised throughout the game. He kind of dropped in every now and then, made some plays, and didn't really need to be too involved. You had a feeling that he would take over in the fourth as needed, but the Pistons played so poorly down the stretch that even he didn't need to step up and make too many plays for the Cavaliers. 20 points for Kevin Love in kind of a supporting cast role there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But as the Pistons hung in throughout most of the game, that 121-104 score is deceiving. To the Pistons' credit, they were right in this one pretty much for 3.5 quarters there. and led for much of the game as well. But you can see why the Cavaliers probably need to make a move. It's a pretty uninspiring team at this point. Hopefully for their sake, Isaiah Thomas gets a little bit more healthy and becomes maybe more of the player that they were envisioning as time goes on. And there's reason to believe that that would happen as his hip gets more healthy and maybe gets some rest as the season goes on and gets comfortable as well. But that said, for Detroit, it was just about as good as the Pistons can play these days, and they still couldn't beat a team that's really struggling right now. So not good news right there. Ish Smith continues to show why he's not the answer in the fourth quarter. Just the moment and the role is just way too big for him right now. He's a transition backup type player who really can't be playing starters minutes, can't be playing in close games, can't be playing in a half-court situation pretty much offensively or defensively at all. I really think if they have a chance these days, they're going to have to blow teams out. This is not a team without Reggie Jackson that's going to have any chance to go bucket for bucket in the fourth quarter with a good team unless they're getting an inspiring effort from Andre Drummond like they did against Utah and blew that one in overtime, or Tobias Harris somehow finds a fourth quarter gene or some ability to make important baskets when the Pistons need him, because they've been waiting for that all season. He's been having a good season, probably exceeding expectations still when you look at the season as a whole. But, man, just waiting for Tobias Harris to have some signature moments. We're just going to keep waiting for that, apparently, as well. I'd rather kind of see, other than Ish Smith, I'd rather see Langston Galloway get minutes, and he's disappeared. Or, hell, I'd rather see Dwight Bikes. He's had shown the ability to maybe have the knack for the moment at times, but Ish Smith, it's certainly not there. And I think at 29 years old, we've kind of seen what we need to see from Ish. There's no chance he's going to be a starting point guard in this league for any kind of team that's going to be a playoff team. He's a nice reserve player. And this whole slide is not Ish Smith's fault. He's just kind of the guy that is the representation of the problem. And a lot of you guys on Twitter are saying how Reggie Jackson's injury has derailed the season, and it has. Certainly has. But I don't think that Reggie Jackson is the most important Piston, as Duncan Smith's pointed out. Can you imagine this team without Andre Drummond? Can you imagine if Eric Moreland and Boban and Anthony Tolliver are getting, you know, the 48 center minutes? What would happen to this team if that was the case? I mean, I think Andre Drummond's certainly more important. And as the grief that I just gave Tobias Harris, where he's still getting 20 points. They might be quiet and they might be, you know, somewhat lackluster at times, but what would the Pistons do offensively without those 20 points? I think it might be even more pathetic. So, yes, Reggie Jackson is clearly one of the top three most important Pistons, but I would argue that he's probably number three, possibly number two. But like I said, I think all three of those guys are pretty much indispensable. But yet, all three of those guys really aren't that good either, so that speaks to the overall talent level of this team right now, which is not very good. So, Saturday, got to mention it, the Pistons also got hammered on 121-108 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russell Westbrook must have been listening to Locked On Pistons Friday as I kind of ripped him up a little bit for the way he plays and just the overall lack of success that Russell Westbrook teams will probably continue to have over the, you know, the long haul in terms of championships, for the amount of, you know, MVP awards that he got last year and the amount of publicity he gets. I don't think a team with him in charge as the leader is pretty much going anywhere. But we'll see. Maybe the Thunder will prove us wrong in the playoffs this year. He had 31 points, 13 assists, and 11 rebounds, ripping up a Pistons team that was pretty much crying uncle from the tip-off. Carmelo Anthony passed 25,000 points for a career, not in the game. That would be some kind of record. But he was, as we remember as Pistons fans, 2003 was available with the number two pick. I don't need to go into that anymore. But Carmelo passed 25K. Congratulations to him. Tobias had 21 in the game. I laugh at Tobias's 21 points now at this point. But Drummond also had a double-double. I don't know. The team got drilled. That was their seventh straight loss. They'd go on to get their eighth straight loss. But I will bring up the Cavs and the Thunder here in a little bit on Locked On Pistons and tell you why that they should matter to the rest of the season for the Pistons in a very important way going forward. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes! A little bit later on in the show, we're going to step back and take a big picture look of where this season is at right now and prepare you for the week ahead as well. But the Thunder and the Cavs took care of the Pistons over the weekend, extending the losing streak for the Detroiters to 8 games. Both of those teams, I'd say, are clearly in that second tier of NBA teams. And when I say second tier, I put Golden State in the first tier by themselves. But after that little bit of a drop-off, or a lot bit of a drop-off to the next teams in the NBA, I'd say that those two teams are in that group of 6 or 7 that are next in line in case something horrible happens to the Warriors or a couple injuries or something like that. There's those that believe that Houston can shoot themselves into a series with Golden State. I am not amongst those. Or maybe there might be some people who still believe in LeBron without much else right now, or Boston and Toronto for giving Golden State a tough NBA Finals. Again, I still think this is NBA or Golden State's league to win right now by a lot. It's not a close competitive playoff situation that we have ahead of us once again. So congratulations, Kevin Durant. You teamed up with the best team, and you're now going to win another title. Congratulations. So like I said, 6 or 7 teams. You put Boston, Toronto definitely in there. You put Houston definitely in there. San Antonio for sure. Cleveland is at the bottom of that group right now with the way they've been playing lately. Oklahoma City has gotten it together, so they're probably in that group as well. Minnesota's the one team where they might be in that group, they might not. That remains to be seen as time goes on. But I think it's a pretty far drop-off after those teams, too. Not much else around the NBA as far as exciting teams to be looking out this playoff season. But those are the teams that might be buyers at the trade deadline. And as we saw firsthand, those are teams that also have a need for wings who can defend. The Cavs will have Dwayne Wade back on Tuesday, apparently, against the Pistons. But he doesn't really help all that much defensively. And plus with Derrick Rose and Isaiah Thomas in the backcourt at the point guard, when the Cavs do have a point guard in there, along with Kyle Korver getting minutes on the wing as well, those guys are going to need to be complemented with good defenders. And then in the biggest play of the weekend for the Pistons in the long term, Andre Roberson went down with a serious leg injury for the Thunder in the third quarter on Saturday in Detroit against the Pistons. And he is now out for the season. This was a guy who's very athletic. He's woefully inadequate as a shooter, kind of as a laughing stock kind of way. But you can see, and I know if you're a listener to this show, you know where I'm going with this, but that's another win now window for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and a desire for expiring contracts as well, should they have to hit the reset this summer, should Paul George leave and the Thunder maybe need to reset what they're thinking of as far as a franchise. But they'll need a wing to replace him for the playoff drive. So there are places where, drumroll please, Avery Bradley fits perfectly. For all of his offensive struggles that he's had this year in Detroit, I believe Bradley could be a decent offensive option for a team as the fourth or fifth option on the court, and as a starting player and a player who can kind of, you know, work off the offense that other players keep coming up with. Now, he missed the Sunday game against the Cavs. He's got the groin injury, so obviously that negates pretty much any discussion going forward. But assuming he can get healthy enough over these next couple weeks to become an asset for somebody else, I mean, he's a very good cutter. He can get out in transition. He's a good athlete. They can resort to his jump shot if they have to late in shot clocks as well. And unlike the Pistons, who are drawing up offenses for his mid-range jumpers, which is driving myself and a lot of you fans out there crazy. But maybe a little bit less pressure offensively is where he belongs. He can be a great situational defender. He can stop some of these, or help try to contain some of these great scoring guards that are going to be out there that teams like Cleveland and Oklahoma City are going to have to go against. But no matter how you feel about buying or selling or tanking or firing Stan Van Gundy, I think that trading Avery Bradley for some kind of asset that helps this team now or in the future is a move they have to make. Because if you think they need to patch up some holes, you're not having that much of a drop-off with Luke Kennard coming in there right now, at least offensively. And then you can maybe patch up the defense as far as things go if you think this Pistons team has a chance of doing anything, maybe getting back into the playoff race this year. Because of some good fortune that the Pistons have had, he'll probably have some suitors. I really think it's a no-brainer for this team. They have him expiring this summer. They don't seem to have the cap room to sign Bradley and Harris for the long term. They have the two-guard in waiting in Luke Kennard, and they don't have any guarantee that Bradley would want to sign here in the long term anyway. To say nothing of all those advanced stats out there, which suggests that the Pistons are kind of a better team defensively without him on the floor. I'm dubious on those and pretty much most of the defensive statistics out there advanced-wise, but they are out there and they, loud and clear, even for Boston last year and for Detroit this year, the Avery Bradley is one of the game's best defenders is a is something out there that's being debunked by numbers, it seems, every couple weeks. And there's very good teams out there like Cleveland and Oklahoma City who are desperate. And it's time for Stan Van Gundy to play the role of a smart, forward-thinking executive and use that desperation that those teams have to his advantage. Stan Van Gundy showed kind of some amateur executive moves when he went on the summer of 16 there and signed all sorts of bench players who basically sucked to long-term deals. There were a lot of money. I'm talking about Boban and John Luehr and Ish Smith and then Langston Galloway this summer. He's got a bench full of guys that are completely unusable in the fourth quarter and almost unusable in almost every situation for this team. And he blundered the whole cap with it. So as far as if you're looking for reasons to get, you know, after Stan Van Gundy, the executive, I'd say the free agent moves are the ones, but he's going to want, he needs to save his job as a coach. He needs to save his job as an executive for the rest of the year going into the summer. And I think that a shrewd deadline move, like moving Avery Bradley for some future assets, is probably the way to go. And I'm not really full force on the, you know, sell bandwagon and tank bandwagon. I'm not one of those guys, but I think that trading Avery Bradley for some assets, hopefully for the future, is probably the way to go. Some cap-friendly ideas as well. But I'm going to take another look at the big picture and where this team is at for the rest of the season as well, up next here on Locked On Pistons. If you're a Pistons fan, you should probably be listening to the Locked On Lions podcast as well, as the Leos are preparing for the draft and got a new coaching staff coming in. I wonder who it will be, but you should be listening to Matt Derry as he's on our brother podcast, Locked On Lions. Give him a follow on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts, and also get in touch with him on the social media accounts as well. Locked On Lions by Matt Derry. You know him from Detroit Radio, does a great job on the Lockdown Network with the Lions podcast. But the Pistons, they've got 6 games at home now and 9 of their next 10 games at home. As we mentioned, a few games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs now. And those important games, if you're talking about the trade deadline, are going to be those next 5 that they have. The Pistons have the Cavs on Tuesday. They got Memphis and Miami to round out the week. And then Portland and Brooklyn. Brooklyn will be the night before the trade deadline on February 8th is the trade deadline. The Pistons will then have the Clippers at home. And then they're going to be at Atlanta for their one road game, which is against the worst team in the NBA. So not much of a tough road game there before returning home for 3 more games. New Orleans, Atlanta again, and the Boston Celtics. There are chances for wins in these next 10 games. I know it sounds ridiculous in the middle of an 8-game losing streak, but if you're an optimist and you're looking for any reason to believe that the Pistons are going to turn the ship around and get back in the playoff hunt, then it's got to come yesterday. And if not yesterday, it's got to come today and tomorrow and all the days soon that are coming after that. And as far as games where they have some of those Eastern Conference foes that they might be able to catch in the playoff race, the big one is going to be on Saturday night against the Miami Heat. Although with five and a half games separating the fourth place Heat in the Eastern Conference and the ninth place Pistons, that's becoming a little bit of a pipe dream now, although certainly a team can make a 5.5-game turnaround with almost a half a season to go. So certainly don't write off the Heat as a team that the Pistons could possibly catch if they catch fire here, pardon the pun, sometime soon. The Wizards are the 5th-place team, the Bucks are the 6th-place team, the Pacers the 7th-place team, 76ers the 8th-place team that the Pistons also have a conceivable opportunity of catching and passing and getting back in the playoff race. The Pistons have 1 game left against Washington, 1 game left against Milwaukee, no games left against Indiana, the Central Division rivals, and 1 game left against the Philadelphia 76ers. Of the 34 games that the Pistons have remaining, 17 games are against teams with winning records, and 17 games are against teams with losing records. 18 of the Pistons' 34 games are at home at Little Caesars Arena, and 16 of those games that they have left are on the road, including a tough stretch of 8 of 10 on the road in the spring, and also a 6-game West Coast trip coming up soon. So all that to say that there is a lot of home games in the near future coming up, but it's in kind of an even split between home games and road games going forward the rest of the way. And there is a lot of games against losing teams, but there is a good amount of games against winning teams too. Half and half of the games remaining are against winning teams and losing teams. And if the Pistons are playing where the median level of where they've been playing this year, you'd think they could be able to probably beat a lot of the losing teams and probably lose to a lot of the winning teams. So a 500 record the rest of the way, if they get right, and that's a little bit of an optimistic view right now, would probably not be enough to make the playoffs. So they got to make their surge. And when do they got to make their surge? They've got to make their surge right now, as they have, like I said, 9 of their next 10 games at home, 6 of them at home, 5 of them, they're the next games at home before the trade deadline. It's just, it's got to happen right now if you're a Pistons fan thinking that this team is going to make some sort of run to get back into the playoff stretch. And when does that begin? That begins Tuesday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who looked a little bit in a funk right now, a little bit of malaise. I know that as they beat the Pistons in one of the Pistons' best efforts of the past couple weeks, but they are beatable. It's out there. If the Stan Van Gundy can turn this thing around right now and get things going in the right direction, then Thursday against the Memphis Grizzlies, who are not very good, and then Saturday against the Miami Heat, who are not as hot as they used to be recently, and is a team that is beatable, certainly at home. The Pistons did it at home earlier this year, although that seems like a long time ago. So join us for Draft Wednesday on draft.com and also the Draft app. Use the promo code LOPistons for that one, and join us there. Get in touch with me if you have any questions about that. We're going to be looking ahead to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm sure something's going to come up on Monday that we can talk about for the Pistons on Tuesday's episode. Follow the Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net, and also go ahead and rate us on iTunes. Follow us on all the social media channels, including our Facebook page at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. This is your host, Matt Shook. I want to thank you guys for listening and staying with us despite the struggles of this team. I promise we'll have some compelling content to come up with the rest of the way if the bottom continues to fall out on the Pistons. But I want to thank you guys for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.